Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Cindy Morgan, the Vice President of Learning and Organizational Development, and I run the Penn Medicine Academy. And welcome to Lunch with Leaders. I'm really glad that you're here. So come on in, settle down. Hopefully you can log out of your Outlook, maybe have your lunch or a drink. You can kick back and join your fellow participants in having a great hour together. In service of getting the conversation started, I've got a couple of housekeeping tips to make sure that we can be very active in participating in this conversation. So let me turn it over to my colleague from the Penn Medicine Academy and my producer, Youngin Cho. She'll give you a couple of tips. Youngin?
Sure. Thanks, Cindy. Welcome, everyone, to Lunch with Leaders. Today's show is dedicated to you. It's about careers. It's all about making investment in you. We have guests with amazing career stories, and we are thrilled you're able to join us today. We would love to make the session engaging, and we need your active participation. First, get your cell phones ready to participate in our polls. Second, we'll be taking questions, so use the Q&A window to ask your questions. Third, we love hearing from you, so please share your experiences, your comments in the chat feature. We'll be monitoring the questions and chat throughout and incorporate into the conversation. If we are unable to address all, we'll follow up and you can always reach out to us at PMA. So thank you for joining again. Sit back and enjoy the show. And back to you, Cindy.
Thanks, Youngin. And thanks so much for all the behind the scenes work that you do in making this show a tremendous success. So welcome, everybody. I was a little tight in my opening, so let me loosen up and you can loosen up. So thanks. So many of you, welcome back. I see some familiar faces in the list of participants. So hi, I'm so glad that you're back. Thanks so much for some of the new people who have joined us. You may be saying, what have I gotten myself into? And so for those who are new, Lunch with Leaders is a safe space for leaders across Penn Medicine to come together and talk about some of the challenges that we're confronted with every single day. Whether it's COVID or not COVID, being a leader isn't for the faint of heart. So this is a safe space where we can learn from each other. And I have some great participants today and in every show who can share their thoughts. But we also love hearing you coach one another on the things that you experience. Because what I hear most often is, wow, I'm not alone. And that's what Lunch with Leaders really serves to do. So you can find all of our previous recordings if you are new and haven't seen all of our Lunch with Leaders series. So on the Lead Strong webpage, which is being posted by Jen Rader from PMA right now, you can find all the links. I think this is our 10th show, which is kind of an anniversary of sorts. So congrats to all of us. So please be sure, tell your friends if you like this, pass it on, send it to your other colleagues on the leadership team that you work with, and make sure you're getting the word out. So again, thank you. So I've been waiting my whole life to sing this. Letters. Oh, we've got letters. We got letters all the time. Perry Como from the 40s. We got great email this week since last session. So thanks so much. I wanted to point out David Kluck. He's an assistant director of rehabilitation and PT at Chester County Hospital. He had some amazing things to say. So David, thank you so much for writing to us. Also, we take your feedback really seriously, as you know. And so at the end of last time with our chat, somebody said, oh, I've got to log out. You're not practicing what you preach. You said in a previous email about running great meetings, try to have the 45-minute rule. And so we really took that into consideration. And I was kind of like grappling and feeling a little uncertain, like, what should we do? And then many people wrote in and they said, listen, if you can't take 60 minutes out to develop yourself once every 2 weeks, you know, you're not managing your calendar. So for now, we're going to choose to continue with the 60-minute format. If we hear from you that you think 45 minutes is the right time frame, we may evolve that over time. Although I would also invite you that if you have to take care of something, you need to go to the bathroom before your next meeting, do what you've got to do. I'm just so happy that you're here. You can always watch the playback of the last 15 minutes. And today, during our last 15 minutes, we've got a good reveal. So let's talk a little bit about what we're going to cover today. I think it's going to be really good. So let's talk about our objectives. So the idea around today is this hashtag, Penn Medicine Dreams Careers Realized. And so we want to get that trending. I saw Tony Donovan from the marketing team out at LG here. Maybe you can help work with Debbie Foster and me to get this as a big trend across Penn Medicine. So maybe I'm just kidding about that, but maybe not. But I do want to talk about how we ourselves build meaningful careers here at Penn Medicine and how do we develop ourselves. So often as leaders, we're focused on everybody else. And by the way, we're going to talk about tips on how you can be developing people on your team. But what about our own careers? How do we help to navigate and architect a rich career here at Penn Medicine and beyond? And as I hinted at before, we've got some amazing tools and resources that we're going to share. So stay tuned because we're going to make developing others as well as yourself even easier in the future. We love hearing from you. This is your show too. I want to make sure you're sharing your thoughts and feedback and experiences in the chat. If you have Q&A for our audience, just put it in the Q&A button. I'm going to try to get to as many Q&As as I can so we can continue to have a rich discussion. Let's start off. You know what we've got to do. Bring out your cell phones. I want to have a quick anonymous poll. I've got to take the temperature of how we're doing. So with your cell phone, I want you to text Penn Medicine 918 to 22333. You're now in the survey. If you have a challenge, just let us know in the chat and we'll help you out. Here's today's question. What emotions are you feeling today? What emotions are you feeling today? Let's see how we're doing. Okay, while we're waiting for your responses, I'm excited to introduce our four panel guests today. We have amazing guests. So they're gonna help us learn more about their career. Our first guest is Dr. Christy Weber. She serves as the Chief of Orthopedic Oncology at Penn Medicine. She's also the Director of the Penn Medicine Sarcoma Program, which is a part of the Abramson Cancer Center. Dr. Weber also serves as the Vice Chair for Faculty Development within Orthopedics. Monica Hoyer is our Chief Administrative Officer of the Heart and Vascular Service Line. Scott Schlegel is the Vice President of the Regional Physician Group with the Penn Medicine Medical Group, PMMG. And then we have Gretchen Kolb from PMA. She's the Director of Learning Innovation. She oversees Learning Solutions, Talent, and Simulation Team. I should also know, Gretchen, she's not feeling quite herself today. So if she has a little bit of a cough, please send her good vibes. I want to assure you she does not have the COVID and it is not contagious through droplets, through your computer. So I think we should all be safe. So hi, everyone. We're very lucky to have you all. If you wouldn't mind coming on camera, that would be great. So Hi, okay, great, we can see everyone. Now that we can see everyone, youngin, I have to tell you, I think we may have to get a new wardrobe consultant since Monica and I have pretty much the same dress on. Christy, Monica, and I are in the same color, so we may have to work this out a little bit better next time, but I'm glad that you're here and wearing the power color today, ladies. So last time, during our last lunch with leaders, we touched a lot on noble purposes. Oh, wait, let me review the results of emotions before we jump in. All right, here we are. Here's where we're at today. Overwhelmed, happy, excited, anxious, motivated, football, exasperated. That's a good word. I wish someone wasn't feeling it, but it's a good word nonetheless. Optimistic, okay, hopeful, sad, great. Stuff. All right. Torn. You're feeling like Cindy? God bless you all. Tense. All right. So I see a good blend around positive emotions as well as some challenging emotions. And as we talked about last week, we're sort of seeing still a blend. And I think that's pretty normal at this time. So thank you so much for sharing your emotions with us. And I'm glad you could take a minute just to check in with yourselves and hopefully you're taking good care. So we can jump in. You're feeling like a football, G. I feel you on that. All right. No,
I like one of those comments, feeling like a football.
Yeah, I like that too. That's good. All right, so in our last lunch with leaders, we touched a little bit on noble purpose, and I think we're going to carry that theme with us as we talk a little bit about our careers and developing ourselves. Because what's really clear is our purpose and our values really could be a guiding force as we think about architecting a career. And at Penn Medicine, and especially at PMA, we have a couple of very clear thoughts on development. First, we strive to grow talent from within. That's sort of our raison d'etre at PMA. And I know that many of you on the chat and in your leadership roles also have it as a real driving force behind some of the choices that you make in terms of spending your time as a leader to develop others. We value varied and broadening developmental experiences. So careers are so different. There's not just one way of doing it, which is straight up a ladder. Rather, it's about how do you have these experiences that you accumulate over time to help you become the leader that you're becoming in a dream career that you ultimately evolve into. So obviously there's just no one right career path. You can navigate it up, down, sideways within Penn Medicine, hopefully not outside of Penn Medicine because we want you to stay here, but hopefully there are a lot of things that you can continue to learn. So let me go to my panelists. So I would like you to highlight your career journey, and I want you to do it in 1 minute or less. So pithy, let's start with Scott Schlegel. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's start with Scott. And then I'll go to Christy, then Mon, then G.
All right, you're lucky it didn't take me a minute to get myself off of mute. Thank you, Cindy. In a minute or less, I think I was scrolling through the attendees here, and I think most of you I've worked with at some point. It's great to see familiar faces. And I've been here since 1991. I have been here almost continuously. I lost my mind briefly and left and went to CHOP for 2 years, but came back. And I have had the great honor. I actually consider it a really great honor to work for Penn Medicine. There are so many smart people and so many kind and generous folks. You know, Kevin says we work with giants and we walk with giants. Excuse me. And I really strongly feel that I've always tried to add value in whatever way I can add it. And, you know, the question is, how do I build an interesting career? I think Penn Medicine has really supported me. I never felt like Penn Medicine owed me an interesting career, but rather supported me in finding places where I can add value to the organization and be able to contribute. And I think, you know, I've had several positions that we can talk about. But, you know, my last three or four positions have actually been not ladder-like positions. They've been lateral or areas where the value is added. So I'll stop there. I know my minute is up, but we have plenty of other time to discuss some other things, I suppose, Cindy.
In 7 different departments, is that true?
I have not simultaneously, but I've worked in 9 different departments.
Oh, 9.
I have been the interim COO or the permanent COO in 7 different departments, and I have worked in my 30 years almost at Penn Medicine. I've worked about 6 or 7 jobs. So it's really been, I can't tell you how honored I am to work for an organization, to see it grow over the years and again, be a place where I can apply my skills as meager as they are to help folks, you know, move along the mission of Penn Medicine. It's very humbling.
Thanks, and happy 30-year anniversary. Christy Weber, let's take it over to you. 1 minute or less, your career journey.
Thanks, Cindy. And I'm a latecomer to Penn Medicine, but equally excited to work at an institution like this. It really is a thrill for me. I'm a public school Midwest kid. I say that because it sort of grounds me in who I am. I came to East Coast to medical school, and I made the decision to be an orthopedic surgeon, despite pushback, and maybe because of the pushback, actually. That women really weren't that welcome in the field, and they didn't think women could get in. So I completed my training, and I picked a lesser known area of orthopedic surgery, cancer surgery. So I take care of kids and adults with bone and soft tissue cancers. I worked in 3 places in my career. All of those have intentional choices around that, those job changes. You know, I think my career has been a success as I define it, but everybody defines success differently. Everybody makes different choices. So I wanted to be a good doctor, a good surgeon, a good scientist. I have focused my career on you know, being promoted up the promotion ladder to professor. I have focused on both internal but also external organizations, trying to lead external organizations, and that culminating last year in leading our main orthopedic organizations, 39,000 people. I was the first woman in 87 years. So that was great. Nobody gets there alone. So we'll talk more about sponsors and mentors and intentional choice. But I think that's how I've tried to live my career.
Thanks, Christy. And I really appreciate your Ruth Bader Ginsburg earrings. Good choice. Another badass woman like yourself. Mon, let's go to you. Career journey, 1 minute or less.
So I actually grew up in Germany. I was born and raised in Germany. And for me, that experience, I think, shaped a lot of my choices and decisions. I never really had sort of an idea of what I was going to be or what I could do that was sort of mapped out. But once I lived in the States, I moved here for college, it was about making choices around where I could bring my skill set and partner with people that I really enjoyed working with, where I could learn and where I could drive change. I've always been interested in children and families, and healthcare fits with that. So I ended up for college in Chicago for a year. I got a degree where I could build my skill set. That was around public policy. I did work in DC with a lot of nonprofit organizations building capacity for, at that time, it was organizational change and organizational development. And then I came to Philly for my MBA and stayed here doing consulting mainly in healthcare, and then came to Penn Medicine a little bit over 6 years ago. Interesting people, exciting work, driving change. It's what gets me up in the morning. So that's how I've made choices in my career.
Thanks, Mon. Lynn Cardona, I feel you. There are a lot of times Monica doesn't know some of like the shows like the Brady Bunch. She had to watch them on Netflix and she didn't grow up here. It's like a little known fact.
I had a lot of catching up to do.
You really did, Mon. So, and I have a lot of catching up to do on learning to speak German fluently. Gretchen Kolb, 1 minute or less.
I like to think I've had one of the more interesting careers at Penn Medicine. So I came as a genetic counselor. I worked with both families with children with genetic disorders as well as adults with cancer here at Penn Medicine. I came from Jefferson with one of my mentors who recruited me. And that eventually led to me working more in the Department of Surgery Education. At one point, I got a robotic Da Vinci lab started at Glen Olden, a pig lab. So just really different experiences. And about 2007, Dr. Mullen, one of my mentors, came to me and said, we're building a sim center and I would like you to help. And I knew absolutely nothing about simulation. And so coming from someone who really knew everything about genetic counselor and was an expert in that area to leading a sim center was just such a developmental experience for me. And I really have been lucky in that I've been able to follow my passion. I've always had jobs that I found to be so interesting and that really keep me learning. And when Cindy came about 5 years ago, she asked me if I'd be willing to expand my role to oversee learning in general, including not only simulation, but also online learning, classroom-led, leaning now into more talent development. So it's been a great experience. It's always been interesting. And Hannah, I see your question about childbearing years. And I will say, you know, there was a period of time, probably 5 years, where I was very comfortable at the Sim Center. I was the operations director. I knew the job inside and out. I had young children, and I was really happy to have that as my career. And as I shoved them out the door of school, I was ready for something new. And that's when I really, luckily, Cindy came on and really had the chance to take on more responsibility. So sometimes those two things do actually match up.
Thanks. I see some of your questions in the chat, and I want to assure you we are going to get to them. So I wanted to give a couple of background pointers to ground our conversation. So Casey, I want you to just, if you wouldn't mind sharing slide 11. As we said, there is no one right path, and Christy said that earlier. So really, this is about architecting a career that's going to feel good to you. And there are very different alternative and varied paths, as you just saw our four guests kind of articulating. So when you're thinking about your own dream career and what it looks like, first of all, you've got to kind of tune into yourself and say, well, what do I love doing? Where's my passion? What's my noble purpose? What am I good at? And then you can start with a self-inquiry around what do I want to do? And you don't have to say when I grow up, because I think we're all in the process of constantly evolving in terms of who we are, who we're becoming. So you've got to say, do I want to be a CEO? Do I want to be a director? Do I want to stay in my current job so I can balance other things that I want to round out a full life? And the job is one component of it. Do I love being an expert or a subject matter expert? Do I want to be on a traditional vertical pathway? Or do I want to sort of be more nomadic and move between functional areas, groups, entities? Or do I want to just grow and deepen in a current role because you're happy around that? And it doesn't mean if you stay in your role that it's going to be stagnant. You can be doing things to develop yourself, growing, and we'll talk about all sorts of tips and strategies for doing that because development is key. And again, I don't know. It's not like I woke up when I was in high school and said, I want to be in organizational development. I mean, sometimes I'm like, what does this career even mean right now? So you don't have to have it all figured out. You're going to feel your way through a lot of this. I think a really important question is, as you look ahead, what do I want to continue to do? How do I serve? How do I keep manifesting my own potential? What do I want to learn? I think those things can really guide you to your own created dream career. So let's go to the panelists again. What's been your most developmental experience? Let's start with Gretchen. What's helped you become the leader who you are?
Definitely, I would say working at the Sim Center. So again, you know, this was an area where I knew nothing about, and I find those experiences when I take on and learn something that I don't have a lot of knowledge about that isn't my comfort zone, it really pushes me to dig deep, to do research, to talk to people, to learn more. And that's what excites me about my job, when I'm growing, when I'm learning, when I'm developing. And I really think having those developmental experiences and then matching them with a mentor or a manager who is willing to provide you with the support that you need. So they're not micromanaging you, but they're not also throwing you out the window and say, you know, learn to fly, do it on your own. But they're really there to support you. And if someone's asking you to step up like that, generally they're ready and there to support you.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Let me also go to the audience and ask the leaders who have joined us today, what's been your most developmental experience? What was the experience that helped you become the leader who you are right now? In the meantime, let me go over, Christy, you want to answer this one? Most developmental experience? You've had so many.
Yeah. Thanks, Cindy. Always learn from hard things as well. So I'm going to go in a different direction, maybe not make this a feel good, but I would say that in my last job, I happened to work for sort of a class A bully, really challenging work environment, just a hostile environment for many people. So, you know, I found that, you know, the resilience required for that and the courage required that, it was a really tough time for me. And so I think the point I'm going to make here is that although I'm a pretty tough kid, I needed a little help to navigate that. And so I hired a coach, right? So for me, being able to say, you know, I need to develop some skills to be able to help me in this situation. And so I got coaching around conflict management and also around negotiation. And it really, for a couple years, it helped me through a very challenging situation. Frankly, at the end of it, it helped me arrive here at Penn. So all good, with a good negotiation package there too, to boot. So, you know, I think that a couple things I learned there is if you're in a tough situation, you know, get the help that you need, but also, you know, everything is a choice. You can make a choice. If where you are in your career is not where you think you should be, or it doesn't align with your values, you can make a choice. And it's really empowering to know that.
Thanks. Did those strategies that you learned through that experience help you with some of the other challenges that you may have faced in a very male-dominated field? Beth Johnston asked that question from the chat.
Yeah, I saw Beth's. Thanks, Beth. Sure. I mean, I personally would advocate, you know, conflict management training day one, like early in the career, right? Conflict management, negotiation, or skills that are going to get you throughout your whole life. You know, learning how to put a metal rod in a femur, that's a skill I can learn. I can do that. But these kind of life skills and interaction skills are critical. You know, my philosophy has always been be so good they can't ignore you, Beth. So, you know, I'm always going to, you know, try to be at a level where they can't really find any way to criticize.
Thanks, Christy. Monica, let me turn it over to you.
So the question is about my most developmental experience. That's right. I think for me, it was definitely at PMA when I became director of change management. Having been a consultant for a number of years and actually also working here as a consultant, it's very different when you're building your own team. And so I had to not just do the work, but also put together a team that fit, not because they were like me, but because they were not like me. Team members who could bring value and skills that maybe I didn't have to round out what we were trying to build at PMA. At the time, Cindy, you had joined as well as our VP, so you were my boss, which was exciting and interesting for me because, as Gretchen mentioned, having the support to be able to learn to lead and to build not only the team and do the work, but also do it well. Because I think what Christy said is an extremely important point. What we always want to do is excel at the jobs, and especially when you're in a new role, you're always trying to demonstrate that even if it's not something that you did before, you can grow into that role and do it very well. And the reason that you're in it, the skill set that you bring, it really gets elevated because of what you do and what your team does with you. And for me, building the PMA team, we were working on the pen chart change, we were building a change management website, and we were doing strategic planning and change management across the health system. Extremely developmental work for me, built my skill set, and really, I think, helped the team come together in a great way.
Absolutely. Thanks. I love that our participants are sharing some of their experiences, whether it was taking on opportunities in the time of change, mergers and acquisitions, George Crowley. Monica, some of your team members have had some really good stretch assignments. The EPIC implementation project was really challenging and rewarding for Angelica Mooney. Scott, what about you? Most developmental experience, when did you become you in your 30 years here at Penn Medicine? Where did you become you?
Yeah, so my background is in finance. So I started my career in finance in a couple of departments. And then after I left Penn, I came back from CHOP to start up the Department of Family Medicine, which was a brand new, probably the first actual department that was created at Penn Medicine in quite some time. That was where I found that I really enjoyed creating new things within this very complicated infrastructure that we have here at Penn. I mean, you know, the organization's been around for 250 years. To actually navigate, you know, it obviously wasn't as complex back then, but to be able to navigate, to create something new that's going to be durable and add value to the organization was something that was really attractive to me. And I've tried to add that element and seek that out in my career as we go forward. Angelica mentioned the EPIC implementation. That was also a further step in my development. I had Beth Johnson, who was my boss and a great mentor at the time. I said, I think I can help out with this. And she said, I think you can too. And so I was able to sort of go in that pathway as well. But creating something new within this very complicated infrastructure that helps Penn Medicine grow and evolve and continue to lead is something that I'm very attracted to and something that I've been lucky enough to have great support of and some good success in.
Thanks, Scott. Gretchen, are you still with us?
I am.
All right, you might have been coughing there. Give us a couple of broad PMA tips for driving careers and helping people to recognize and get into their dream careers?
Certainly. And if I falter, well, I think Youngin may have to pick up for me. Youngin, I think you're on.
Youngin? Sorry, G.
Sure.
Youngin, give us your expertise. You have 7 steps for our audience to realize their dream careers.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, our panelists have already touched on some of these things. And Casey, if you can advance, I think I'm going to use the sort of an analogy of rock climbing. You know, when you're doing it, you don't always go up, you know, you go sideways. Sometimes you go down to get a better grip to get to where you want to go. Again, there's no right or wrong. First thing is really considering, you know, and asking yourself, where do I see myself in 5 years time, or really doing soul searching and establishing some goals and timeline and building a thorough development plan, allowing for some flexibility. Second, you know, it's asking for feedback. You know, we talk about it a lot. You can ask for feedback from your managers, your peers, others you work with. Behavioral change start with being aware, and by receiving, asking for feedback, accepting it and acting on it. So remember the three A's: aware, accept, and act. And you can just build this into your day-to-day to keep on developing and improving yourself. Third, actively look out for stretch assignments. You know, I think it's very clear that, you know, when you go out of your comfort zone, that's where you grow the most. So seek committee, project, task forces, you know, taking a training course might be the first thing that you consider when you think of a development plan, but actually think of the 70-20-10 rule, where you learn best by acting and actively learning on the job. And stretch assignment and special project can help you gain broader visibility, gain new skills, and provide that networking exposure.
Hey, Youngin, can I just interrupt for 1 second? You're doing a great job, I should say. And thanks for doing this on the fly. Very agile of you. Shreya, from one of the participants, Shreya asked, well, do you think I should go back and get a PhD? I'm in my 40s. Does this make sense? Shreya, I think that this is a personal decision for you. And advanced education can be great. And you can also develop through stretch assignments on the job to help you feel like you're right back in it. And yet, if you have a personal passion for education and a specific field in particular, then maybe the PhD makes a lot of sense. You may do that for yourself, and it may help you evolve in your career. It may help you evolve personally. There could be a lot of proactive benefits. There are some of these other things that you can be doing as well that may be a little bit less time consuming or costly, like stretch assignments. Youngin, back to you.
Yeah, sure. So our next point is actually exactly on the professional development. So you need to take charge of your development. We have excellent tuition benefits, so take advantage of that. Go to conferences. But again, that's not the only one that will take you forward. But think creatively. Think outside the box. The next one, use your network. So it could be colleagues, alumni, associations, peers, family, and friends. Look for how you can update your personal brand through social media, share with others what you're interested in, what your next step might be, find a role model, a sponsor who could really help you, think about mentoring opportunities, and just go out and connect with others and find a role that interests you. Have, you know, you will be surprised that more people are willing to be sounding board and help you out and be, yes, I'm happy to talk to you about opportunities. So, you know, go out and reach out. Involve your manager and HR, and you know, they are very, very keen on helping you advance. So do that. And last but not least, you know, maintain high level of performance. Show up, maintain positive relationship with your current manager. And as Cindy mentioned, you know, development and promotion doesn't have to be lateral going up. You could certainly continue developing role, and there are many, many creative things that you can do to grow yourself. So these are some of the things to consider.
Thanks so much, Young, and I appreciate it. I want to go a little deeper in some of these strategies. Let's start with Monica. What was the most meaningful stretch assignment or other type of development that you took on, which served as a catalyst for your own growth? As you look at those seven, was there one that jumps out for you?
Can you put the seven back up? I mean, for me, the job that I have right now as CAO has pulled together all of the work I've done. It's about taking what I know about change management. It's about taking what I know about relationships. It's about learning new things when it comes to heart vascular and even operations, and getting to know your team and figuring out what are the best aspects that you can build upon and where do you want to help support the growth and development of your team. So for me, the CAO role allowed me to take all of what I've done in the past, put it all together, and figure out not only how to do my job, but help support the team. I think the maintain high performance is probably something that has always been a big driver for me, because the performance of a service line does not rely on this, on the CAO. The performance of the service line relies on the team. I have an incredible team. I feel extremely lucky. all of the people on my team absolutely know their job, and my work is not to micromanage, to one of the points made earlier, but to help make sure that they can continue to be successful. Removing barriers, supporting where they feel like they need help or where there might be challenges, building those connections between people if there's an opportunity to figure out how to make us stronger by partnering with others. So the high performance piece, I think, pulls all of it together. And I see that as where for me, for in my role, that what's something that I've really had to focus on and do.
Thanks. Christy, can you talk a little bit about how you've used sponsors or mentors to help you throughout your career?
Yeah, thanks, Cindy. Again, nobody gets where they are. Nobody without help. And so, you know, I think mentors and sponsors, I've benefited from both. I've tried to pay that back. Just, you know, I don't know if you've talked on one of these lunches before about some of the differences. When I think about a mentor has mentees, a sponsor has proteges. And a lot of this comes out of some work at Stanford. And so when you think about mentors, they support their mentees through, it could be formal, it could be informal discussions about building skills, building qualities, building confidence for career advancement. When you think about a sponsor, they're promoting their proteges really actively and directly using their own influence and their networks to connect them to high profile assignments, people, pay, promotions. It's really it's the difference maybe between mentees or mentors helping someone craft a career vision and a sponsor driving their protege's career vision. So I think of them a little bit differently. I think both are incredibly helpful, and I have had an abundance throughout my career, but I've gone to seek them out. So I have really looked for people where they're exhibiting a trait or skill set that I'm really intrigued by and I'd like to know more about it. And so I've sought people out. And the one thing I would say is the most important point I found in looking for mentors and sponsors is to bring something to the table. You don't just go in and say, hey, I want you to help me with this. I've always tried to learn as much as I can about the person I'm going to talk to and bring something to the table in a clear and concise manner, and then try to take the direction and whatever feedback I can get. So incredibly important. Nobody gets anywhere without sponsors and mentors. On the other hand, it's a lot easier to sponsor and mentor someone who already has that foundation of really hard work, professionalism, and integrity.
Thanks. I love your answer. Let me go to the audience and ask the audience, leaders, which ones of these steps have you taken to realize your career and help your own developmental growth? Which have been most critical for your success? Scott, let me ask you, you've taken on a lot of stretch assignments, as you indicated, with 7 interim roles, corporate roles. How did you seek out a stretch assignment?
Well, I have been fortunate to know a lot of folks in the organization, and I had some good sponsorship, mentorship. Christy, I love your comments, and your distinction between a sponsor and a mentor, I think, is really important. But if you expose yourself to those folks, they can often direct you, or they can support you. Gretchen, like you did with Jim Mullen and some others, they can sort of point you in a direction and talk you up a little bit to give you those opportunities. I saw somebody in the event chat who said, how do you find stretch assignments? And what I've also done is I couldn't have done it without the support of my mentors and sponsors, but also I kind of had a sense for the things that I was interested in and I knew I could do a good job with. Again, on the Epic project, I'm not an IT person. I did not have IT experience, but I just, given my history and my background and the things that it seemed to me needed to happen on that project, I knew I could do a good job. And thankfully some folks, believed me, but there was another person in there who said, don't say no to anything. Say yes to everything. I've always tried to abide by that too. If somebody approaches me about something and says, hey, I think you'd be good at this, I never say no. Sometimes I say, well, why do you think I'd be good at that? Because I think I would suck at that. But I think that both saying yes to anything that you can say yes to, I think is really important. And then one last comment I would make is when you have a sponsor or a mentor, it's really important to not feel like or act like they are obligated to find you something. I have encountered that over my career, that when you sponsor or mentor somebody, there are folks that that sort of expect that you're going to throw stuff their way, and that's their expectations of sponsorship and mentorship. And I think that's not, as Christy said, you got to work to earn that and prove that you're worthy of that, and then these folks will open doors for you. So that's my 2 cents on that.
Thanks. Let me open it up to all panelists to say, have we covered everything? Do you have any more tips or advice for helping our participants build their own careers? Because I want to pivot to talking about how we develop others. So any other last pieces of advice that you'd give? And I'd also ask the audience to share that in the chat too. Anyone want to jump in?
Cindy, I'm just going to mention, I think you've talked about this in past lunches, but really that sort of leaning into your values when you're looking for assignments, when you're looking for career advancement or shifts, really defining what your values are, really trying to find assignments that allow you to, to really lean in that way.
Thanks. I also love one of our participants, and we said it earlier, involve HR. These are professionals who train their whole careers to help others to develop. So I want to make sure we're shouting out Chris Tierney, who I see is on, as well as our other HR professionals. This is their energy source. They want to help you get ahead. All right, so let's pivot now and let's talk a little bit about developing your team. So Youngin, will you walk us through a couple of key points that we want to make in terms of developing our team?
Yeah, sure.
Your team.
Develops talent is one of the level 4 behavioral competencies we expect from managers at Penn Medicine. It's defined as developing people to meet both their career goals and the organizational goals. So being talented in this competency means viewing talent development as an organizational imperative. And I repeat that word imperative as a system talent. It's about enabling talent mobility, helping them grow and realize their full potential. So it's looking at different ways to developing people and, seeking out those stretch assignments and, inside and outside the group to broaden the exposure. So what does that mean practically? It means having career conversations, understanding their career goals and aspirations, and it's working with them to build the development plans. Yes, the employees, they do own their careers that they've developed, but they need your support. It's helping them identify those opportunities and, again, helping them build on their skill set. It's putting together, when you bring together teams, really tapping into the skills they have, looking at diverse teams. It's providing ongoing feedback, both positive and negative, constructive, and also encouraging professional development, as well as facilitating connections and becoming a true talent leader.
Thanks, Youngin. And I think those are some really good tips. I want to just say, this is on us. I know we're busy. I know all of you are really busy, and yet developing others can't fall to the wayside as we're trying to manage 900 things during the day. We've got to prioritize this. This is our legacy around who we develop on our teams. So let me turn to our panelists and ask you, what are some of the things that you do to develop others? Are there success stories that you have that you want to share, successful tips? Let's go, Scott. You're on mute.
Slow on the button there.
No problem.
You're right, Cindy. This is a challenge that we as leaders have, because we can get very easily wrapped up in the day-to-day of our own jobs and really not focus on the careers of others. So it is an obligation that sometimes gets overlooked. But what I have tried to do during my career is really try to allow folks the freedom to pursue the things as I've pursued them, that interest them, that they're good at, and try to put them in positions that they can be successful in those while still maintaining the obligation of doing their job. So folks will have, their day-to-day activities, but also, I try to seek out stretch assignments for them. I always am involved in those kind of things anyway, so I try to look around the organization. I'm fortunate enough to have a lot of good colleagues who, for the most part, trust my judgment, and to sort of reach out to them and say, hey, listen, I know you were looking for so-and-so. or somebody to do this work for you, I think I might have somebody that can do that. And one thing to remember, at least in my experience at Penn Medicine, is there's not often dollars or an invitation that come along with some of these stretch assignments. You're doing this at stretch for a reason, that these are things that you pursue because you want to grow your career or you want to add to the value of Penn Medicine or something along those lines. So I have been fortunate to try to, you know, expand my network by offering folks of good value to others and sort of help them move around and see other parts of the organization. It is a huge organization with so many interesting things going on and so many problems to solve. And there are so many smart people here to try to match up those things, I think, is an obligation of leaders. Well,
thanks, Scott. Well said. This is like a playground. There's so much to do, so much to learn. It's about opening your mind to say, oh, what can I learn next? Hannah, I thought your comment on the chat is really insightful. Often it's about empathy. You know, we talk about how do I get a mentor? And that's sort of how our team is looking for us. They want us to give us feedback, positive, constructive. They want us to be guiding, sponsoring them, mentoring them, so that empathy goes a long way. So let me go to the chat and say, what are your secrets for success in terms of building your team? And let me go back to other panelists. Are there things that you're doing to develop those with diverse backgrounds? How are you developing your team? Secrets to success? You want to raise your hand? Who wants to go next? Jay, you want to try it? You're on.
Thanks.
Yeah, good. Yes. Hi, welcome back.
Hi, I'm not coughing. I think thinking about within your team, you know, who, it's always important to have a successor, right? And we always want to be developing people in the organization for promotional roles, you know, up and coming, and they're ready to replace us. I mean, I think that shows you're doing your job really well when you have people that, you know, are potentially prepared to step into your role because you've groomed them and you've groomed them. So I think giving autonomy to those that work with us, being knowing when to step away, being there, knowing when to support them is really the way that we can help develop people. And I really like Scott's point about, you know, the money doesn't always follow the task so closely. And so when you take on these stretch assignments, you can't be so short-sighted to say what's going to be in it for me immediately next. I think you really have to trust the process. And that if you take on tasks and you do them well, eventually the accolades will follow, but it's not always, you know, an immediate next step.
Thanks. That point was made on the chat as well. Sometimes the best thing you can do is lean into your current role. Look at the competencies, get some feedback, figure out how you get even better, and things will come. But this isn't an organization where every 18 months you're moving to a new job and getting promoted with a title and additional money. This is an expert culture where you have to continue to broaden and deepen your experiences for you to be recognized in that way. Let's go to Monica. Mon, things that you do to develop your team, secrets to your success around developing others.
Yeah, I agree with everything that's been said. I think a big part of it is listening. Neil actually just made the comment, listening and understanding what your team members are interested in, what motivates them, being able to provide them with those opportunities that maybe they don't see where they might develop. I think feedback is really important. I think being able to deliver a message without the load. A lot of times people get messages and they don't know what they mean because they weren't clear enough. I think we have to communicate in a way that helps people be whole, but also know what they need to work on. It helps people know what they have to address and do differently without feeling badly about what they just did. And I don't know that everyone always gets that. And I think for all of the people that I've had the pleasure of working with here, we're professional enough that we can say difficult things and people can walk away knowing what they need to work on, but also feeling supported and competent in the work that they've been doing. And I think that's critically important. Development plan, I can't stress that enough. Being really clear about what the areas of focus are and how you're going to help people achieve it. I stumble a little bit in remembering to always come back to the development plan, but I know I always had one. And so I think it's important to really document what are we working on, how are we doing, and coming back to it and asking people to almost hold themselves accountable, but have the conversation about it.
Thanks. And let me just say, she wasn't even a plan. I didn't even coach her to say that, even though PMA's mantra is all about building a feedback-rich environment, and we're going to show you some really hot developmental tools. Christy.
Yeah, I just, Monica, I love that. I don't know, just amplify what you said. Clear is kind. I'm a big Brene Brown fan, so that is a big mantra. Clear is kind, and I think that adds to what you just said. And Cindy, I would just say that, you know, no different than all the other panelists, you meet people where they are, you listen to what they need. You know, my role is to help people get promoted, people who choose to be promoted or want to be promoted. And in addition to listening and trying to help them, sometimes people make life choices that they shift tracks, the faculty, they want to shift to a different track. And it's important to help and understand that. But then there's also help to be able to provide resources in the Faculty Affairs website, the work life efforts, you know, around wellness and well-being, COBALT, PMA. These are all resources that we give routinely to our faculty so that then in their spare time, when they're not in front of me or someone else, they've got an opportunity to look and see and to talk about development plans or whatever else. So there's so many resources here at Penn.
Thanks. That's a great segue. Let me turn it back over to Gretchen and Youngin. Would you review some of the PMA resources specifically geared towards both developing ourselves as leaders as well as helping us as leaders develop our team? G, you want to start, and Youngin, you jump in case?
Sure.
All right, you're on mute, G. I think it might be the cold medicine.
It is. All the previous recordings from this Lead Strong and all others are from the Lunch with Leaders are on our Lead Strong site, as well as all of the resources that we've compiled to support each one of them. We also have developed a series of leadership pathways. These are programs. Online programs where you can follow a series of steps. It pulls together our micro learnings, our tools, supporting documents, and courses from LinkedIn Learning via Knowledge Link on topics such as having developmental conversations, developing high potentials, forming a high success team. We have pathways on all of those. We also have the development planning tool. And this was a really great project that Youngin took on to bring together not only the competencies, but also ways to develop each. So you can pick a competency that you want to develop. Maybe one was identified as part of the performance review process that we just went through. Pick a competency. You'll be given anywhere from 5 to 10 different on-the-job activities to help develop that competency, things that you could do. You'll be also directed to some LinkedIn Learning supporting videos and courses to help develop that competency, as well as reminders that feedback is key and to continue to identify individuals to that for.
Let me jump in here. Yep. Can I jump in? This is the big reveal. This is our big, brand new, badass tool that I need you to check out. Your teams are going to love this. A lot of times I get calls, oh, I don't feel like doing a development plan. It takes a lot of effort. I got to think about stuff. This is all point and click. You pick a competency and we will give you in a synthesized click, point, click, point, click format. You can pick every tool PMA has, LinkedIn Learning, Knowledge Link. It's all there, consolidated, synthesized, and a point and click developmental plan. So do not pass go, do not collect $200. You have to click on this link and check this new tool out. Gretchen's being too modest. Gretchen, Youngin, the team, they have like killed themselves to get great tools for you to help develop your team and yourself. So check this new development planning tool out. I think you're going to really love it, and I'd welcome your feedback. All right, Gretchen, I had to amplify because you're being a little too modest with your work there. This is awesome.
The other nice thing about it is that it functions a little bit like a human capital management system, where once the individual, your employee, selects you as the manager, you can see their activity. So you actually get access to the development plans that they put into play. So you can actually give feedback in the form. You can add to it. You can have it as an ongoing discussion. And then lastly, for those that are looking for next steps in their career, we do have a career exploration section. On the talent development page, we have tips on both how to conduct a career search and narrow down to the field, your dream career, tips on how to write a resume, and also how to prepare and anticipate questions in an interview. And it focuses both on those that are hopefully searching internally for their next opportunity, but for those that might want to explore beyond.
Thanks, Gretchen. I really appreciate it. I'm really tasking each of you leaders. I would love to see on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, hashtag Penn Medicine Dream Careers Realized from you and the direct reports to whom that report to you, saying that you help them to, you know, bring about and manifest their dream career. We can do that. We can change people's lives by paying attention, being present, giving feedback, thinking strategically about how to develop others. And I think that people will work even harder on your teams and get you the results that you need when they see that you really care. So, Dream Careers Realized, can't say it enough. We have a ton of resources to help you. So I want to thank my panelists. This was really great, and I'm so grateful for your authenticity, your sharing of your own journeys, as well as some of the strategies that you use. Speaking of strategies, in 2 weeks, we are going to focus on strategic planning, facing an uncharted future with focus, and we have some really good guests again. We have Dr. Jim Metz, who's the chair of radiation oncology. We have Dr. Lynn Schuchter, who is the chief of HEMONC. And we have Carolyn Heason from PMA. She is a senior organizational development consultant and an expert in strategic planning. And wait till you see the cool tools we're going to debut next week or in 2 weeks on strategic planning. They're going to really be good, so don't miss that. So again, thank you so much to each of you for taking the time to come with Lunch with Leaders and to prioritize your own learning and development. There's no doubt that we're in this together and we can continue to make a real difference with people. So just as in closing, thanks for coming. I can't wait to see you in 2 weeks, so mark it on your calendars. Make sure you leave your poll everywhere by typing leave in your chat. I really love your emails. Feel free to send them to us. I love your feedback. We're going to give you the link to a post survey to let us know how we can keep getting better. And I wanted to just make sure you're visiting the PMA site for all of our resources. There are a lot of things there to make your job much easier, so please don't hesitate to go to it. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing for Penn Medicine, our patients, their families, our community. I look forward to seeing you.